Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. The opioid crisis has taken a terrible toll across the United States, and sadly, North Carolina has not been spared. Fortunately, some wonderful and dedicated people are fighting back. One organization helping to lead that effort is the North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition. The coalition is a statewide grassroots organization dedicated to the implementation of harm reduction interventions, public health strategies, drug policy transformation, and justice reform in North Carolina and throughout the American South. Recently, the coalition's advocacy and communications coordinator, Tessie Castillo, sat down with me to discuss some of these enormously challenging topics.
Well, Tessie Castillo, welcome from the North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition. We're sure delighted to have you on News and Views.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Tell our listeners a little bit about the coalition.
Sure. The North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition is a statewide nonprofit, and we work with people who are impacted by drug use, either people who use drugs themselves or their loved ones. And we try to help reduce some of the negative consequences, such as death or disease or incarceration associated with drugs.
You know, the issue of opioids is much in the news today, and I do want to talk about that. But that's only one of the issues, obviously, that the coalition works on. So you've given us sort of an overview. Are there some more specific issues that would resonate with listeners?
So one of our programs focuses specifically on reducing overdose deaths. We were part of passing a law in 2013 that enabled lay people to obtain a medicine called naloxone. And that's a very simple medicine that reverses an overdose from opioids, like your common painkillers, and also heroin and morphine. So since then, we've distributed naloxone kits for free to people impacted by drugs all over North Carolina in all 100 counties. And we recently had our 10,000th report that someone had used the kit to reverse an overdose on a loved one. So we're very proud of that work.
That's just a remarkable statistic. It's wonderful news that you've been able to do that. Also sort of shocking, that, of course, that many people, because obviously even more people probably have suffered from overdoses who unfortunately couldn't get to it. It's a remarkable accomplishment. As I recall, when that was first coming down the pike, though, that wasn't necessarily like a political no-brainer. It wasn't. I mean, there were politicians who were resisting this idea of making this available to folks.
Yes, there still is resistance to naloxone in some areas. We've always, just in the work that we do, trying to help someone who's struggling with addiction, often get accused of things like enabling drug use. And so that was the argument with naloxone. People said if you give people a plan B so that they can do something about an overdose if it happens, won't they use drugs in a riskier way? Won't more overdoses happen? Right. Thankfully, we have data going back decades that shows that using naloxone or having it ready does not cause people to use more drugs or riskier drug behavior. It only saves lives. And of course, the argument we always use is the only person you can really help is a person who's still alive. So every time a life is saved, that's one more chance that they have.
I take it again that y'all have learned from years of experience is that the criminal justice system certainly by itself has got no hope of dealing with this crisis in our society.
Absolutely. We have a system that's not working, and that's even a little bit ridiculous. We're asking the criminal justice system and law enforcement to handle what's essentially a public health problem and a mental health problem. Law enforcement they're very good at what they do, but they're not adequately trained at how to deal with mental health and addiction. It would be kind of like asking doctors or mental health specialists to start arresting people for breaking the law. You know, they're just not equipped to do that. So we have a situation where we're warehousing people who have mental health problems, who have substance use problems, in jails and prisons, which exacerbates the mental health and substance use problems. And then when we release them, which we do in 95% of the cases, they go back out into the street. Not only do they have the same problem they went in with, but now they have more because the criminal record prevents them from getting work, prevents them from getting housing, prevents them from education. It even prevents them from getting treatment a lot of the times. There are many treatment centers that will not take someone with a criminal record.
So I do want to talk more specifically about the opioid crisis because it really has overtaken our entire nation in recent years. Where do things stand with that right now? Is there hope on that front? Are we making any headway in combating that? Or are we just sort of holding our own right now?
The opioid crisis is getting worse. The drugs are getting stronger that people are using, and more people are using every day. I do see hope for it. There's been an incredible diverse amount of different actors who've gotten involved in this, from law enforcement and pharmacies and harm reduction folks and treatment folks, public health folks, all coming together on a scale I've never seen for any other crisis before. So I think the coalition of forces will eventually help turn the tide on opioids. My concern is that the problem is the way that we handle drug use as a whole. Opioids are our crisis today. They will not be our crisis tomorrow, even if we do nothing. The opioids will eventually go away. Drugs are trendy, like a lot of things, and they become popular and then they lose popularity. So I'm worried that by focusing too much on opioids and on solutions that are very specific to opioid users, we're losing the opportunity to look at drug policy as a whole and really do something about how we handle all drugs and all mental health and substance use so that the next crisis we're prepared to deal with.
What kind of reaction are you getting? I take it that in general, state lawmakers of both parties are probably better informed and somewhat more open to new ideas than they were maybe 20 years ago. You're lobbying the North Carolina General Assembly every day when they're in session. What do you see on the horizon? What are some of the issues? What are the reaction you're getting from lawmakers?
It's changed.
Yeah,
we used to get an incredible amount of pushback from lawmakers about the issues that we were advocating for. And now I see a lot more compassion from them, a lot more willingness to work on these different issues, a lot more understanding of the complexity of the problem. However, I don't think, again, that they understand the big picture. They tend to want those quick fixes. It tends to be very opioid specific.
I suppose there's an argument to be made that a lot of this is a function of the fact that we got more middle class and upper class white people becoming addicted to opioids than they were to the drugs of 15 and 20 years ago.
So that's what I see. I see compassion for the middle class white people who are losing their children to this epidemic. I do not think that that compassion will carry over once the drugs change and a different demographic is using. So there's a lot of work to do in terms of getting our lawmakers to expand their horizons a little bit about this problem.
I saw where your group recently received a significant grant from the Aetna Foundation. That looked like a bit of good news. Congratulations. Yes, can you tell us a little bit about that and where that's headed?
So Aetna approached us. They were interested in launching a pilot project in several states to really figure out how to tackle this problem. In this state, we decided to focus on rural areas. So we chose five rural counties, Brunswick, Haywood, Johnston, Cumberland, and Vance County. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be deploying overdose outreach workers in each of those counties that are going to be very much on the street, talking to and meeting with people directly affected by this, distributing naloxone, doing overdose prevention education, working with law enforcement to equip them with naloxone as well as some general education efforts across the state.
If folks want to learn more about the Harm Reduction Coalition, maybe even get involved or make a contribution, how could they learn more about your organization?
You can go to our website, www.nchrc.org. Okay. If you scroll down to the page, there's a little slot where you can sign up to be on our listserv. We also have volunteer opportunities available if you reach out to our volunteer coordinator, Jesse Bennett, and we love to have people get involved.
That's great. That's nchrc.org, mm-hmm. Harm Reduction Coalition. Jesse, thank you very much. We really enjoyed having you, and we'll do this again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Up next, a new report from one of North Carolina's most important think tanks looks back on 50 years of progress and setbacks in the American South. Stay with us.